Dear friends in Christ, we read from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. Do not just pretend to love others. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another with brotherly love. Think of others as deserving more honor than yourselves. Do not be lagging behind in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. As you continue to serve the Lord, be joyful in hope. Endure trials patiently. Persist in prayer. Share with the saints who are in need. Be quick to welcome strangers as guests. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Weep with those who are weeping. Have the same respect for one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the humble. Do not think too highly of yourselves. Do not pay anyone back evil for evil. Focus on those things that everyone considers noble. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, maintain peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of God before us today. With Christmas recently behind us, our home has become a place of busy excitement with the kids enjoying their new gifts and the latest things they've received. It's always fun this time of year to watch the excitement as new things come into the house and become part of the routine. When you add in two January birthdays in our house, Micah and Lucas, there's even more that goes around. Each Christmas season also seems to have its own particular trend when it comes to toys as far as a gift. For us this year, it was without exception Legos. I think that this Christmas season doubled, maybe even tripled, our current Lego supply. And Legos are without a doubt one of the most popular toys ever. They combine so many of the good elements of a toy. They're entertaining. They stimulate good activity where you're building and constructing something. They can lead to a sense of accomplishment of creating something on your own. Kids seem not to really tire of playing with Legos either, and the possibilities are seemingly endless with them. But no matter what Lego set you have, from the simplest to the most complex, one thing is always the same. It must be built brick by brick. Indeed, the smallest Legos, maybe not even bricks, are so small that you can barely hold them in your hand. And there are even big platforms that you can use to build hundreds of Legos on top of each other. So the variety is seemingly endless, but it always comes back to the same thing. It must be done piece by piece, one at a time, brick by brick. We sense a similar thought today in our text as the Apostle Paul writes about valuing other people's lives. And the message directly to us of understanding why it's important that we have relationships with other people. These thoughts fit with our theme of the fifth commandment today. Now, the direct wording of the fifth commandment talks about murder, and therefore sometimes we limit what God is teaching to us through that commandment. But as we see from the rest of Scripture, and especially from a section like we have before us today from Romans, there are several specific ways that this commandment touches upon our lives. And it's not just about murder by definition. It's about the things leading up to an act like that. It's about the attitudes and the thoughts and the behaviors behind our actions. Take our first scripture reading as an example from the book of Genesis, the well-known story of the very first murder in history. Perhaps we read that account and we wonder, how could Cain do such a thing? Even more than that, how could Cain get to such a point that he would do such a thing. The story seems so cut and dry to us. Cain's offering is rejected by the Lord. Cain gets angry about that. He's warned by the Lord, and he takes vengeance out on his brother out of jealousy. It sounds so black and white. It sounds so step by step. How could something like that actually happen? Well, it's almost as if God is giving us the answer to that in our text from Romans. What we see here in Romans are the little things that go into an action that seems so big. That big actions start as little actions. That ordinary things can become surprising things when they build up one on the other. The text from Romans is really a long list of commands that God fits under the umbrella of the fifth commandment. As Luther stated in his explanation of the fifth commandment, it involves not just what God forbids when he says do not, but also what God would have us do, what he wants us to be doing for the benefit and well-being of our neighbor. We see the very same thing in Romans 12, don't we? We see a long list of what God forbids, but also what God expects. When I was preparing this text, I counted out all of the commandments that God gives here. And there are, from my understanding, 27 commands in Romans chapter 12 in the verses that we have. And 8 of those commands are what God says, do not do. And 19 of those commands are when God says, this is what you should do. This is what I expect. When we see such variety and depth to God's discourse here too, as we recognize the fifth commandment is not just about one thing, that it can touch our lives in many ways. And a lot of these little things in Romans chapter 12 are exactly what went into Cain's decision to take his brother's life. These many commands in Romans 12 are like building blocks that create the structure of the fifth commandment. Several specific thoughts in the text are helpful within these commands. Paul mentions patience, service, prayer, generosity, humility, empathy, and many more. He lists all of these qualities and virtues as things that we want to keep in mind that are important for our lives, especially when we consider our relationship with other people. They're like individual blocks that construct our Christian life. And in addition to these virtues, Paul also highlights broader things like the ability to call evil what it is and to be able to know what good is. That one thought, think of how especially pertinent that is to our culture when so many people want us to believe that we can follow our own path and we can make our own definitions for what is good and wrong and we can go our own ways and treat one another well. We wonder why there's so much strife and discord and division in the world today. If we're all going our separate ways on what is good and evil, no wonder we're going to have that happen. But with one single thought, Paul brings in a very important building block to our Christian lives of knowing what God says is good, knowing what God says is wrong. Each of these building blocks has a place and purpose in what it means to treat others in a God-pleasing way. Another way to think about it is that God is giving us the blueprint of what Jesus did while he was here on earth. The primary purpose of Jesus' life was to fulfill and complete the law in our place, because we could not do it on our own. Many people think that, well, Jesus came to earth, but really it was all about dying. And we know that everything was leading up to his crucifixion on the cross. But without everything else that came between those two points, everything he did during his life, we would not have salvation either. Because by doing this, Jesus took our place and completed all righteousness in our stead. Now it's verified before God because of what Jesus did, that when we stand before him and trust in Jesus, he will see somebody who is holy and without sin. This is our hope when we are faced with all of these commands and struggles that God gives us that seem so hard to enact in our lives. But in doing this, Jesus also became a model for us to follow. And God is showing us the blueprint of what his own son did. Think of the many stories in the gospel accounts of what Jesus did, healing the sick, showing mercy to sinners, teaching the crowds and the multitudes, displaying compassion even for his enemies. When you see all the things that Jesus did in his word throughout his life, what we see in Romans 12 is a summary of what all those things are. Be patient, be loving, pray for others, show understanding of another person's situation, leave vengeance and hostility to God, who is the ultimate judge. Jesus didn't circumvent his Father's commands. He didn't take the way of the world to redefine everything. Jesus didn't change the meaning of love and righteousness. Jesus fulfilled it. He completed it. He perfected it in every single way that the law was ordained by God. And when you think about that, in this way, Jesus kept his own promise as God. Because he was not just man who walked in our place, but he was the author of the law. He was the giver of these commands as well. And so he kept that very promise for us in his own way. Truly, the greatest way that anyone could love their own neighbor was what Jesus did for us. So now with Jesus' perfect record on our record by faith, we can follow his example. These little commands, which on their own don't always seem all that important, are now opportunities for us to build a structure to God's glory and honor. This is part of the great exchange of the gospel, as we call it. We talk about the gospel being the great exchange, where God takes our sins and he gives us salvation. Something we didn't earn, we didn't pay for it, we didn't work for it. God did it because he loves us. We also see the great exchange of the gospel in the way that we are to live our life and follow God's commands to his honor and glory. Jesus took our place, suffered our punishment, gave us complete holiness under the law. And now that we've been changed by that way by faith, we become his representatives. God calls us in his word his ambassadors. We are given the right and privilege to stand in God's place here on earth to preach his word, to declare his message to others 100% as true as when God declared it to us. We are given that because Jesus exchanges for us our unrighteousness for his righteousness. We become partakers of the work that he accomplished for us. It's critical in our faith life that we always have an awareness of how every little block matters to the structure that is built. Just as Paul divides these commands between the good and the bad, so also God wants us to consider that the structure we build can be either good or bad. Like Cain, neglecting patience, humility, compassion, self-control, and other virtues that led to the hurting and harming of his brother's body. These actions in our lives can also build one upon the other and can lead to a structure that is opposed to God, crafted by a persistent unwillingness to heed God's word and to be changed by his call to repentance. The big things in life don't happen overnight. They happen with little things, one after the other. In contrast, Christ extends a much better outcome for you when he calls you by the gospel. You can follow his lead. You can build the structure that he built with his life. But it's not an easy path, and it's one that cannot be walked by ourselves. That's really the biggest pitfall that traps people when they seek to be Christians and live like Christians. As we've seen throughout studying the commandments, it happens with every single one of the commandments. It's so easy to mix up what God has done for us with what we do for God. Far too many Christians today have good intentions to follow God, but are misled. The thinking of, yes, Jesus is my Savior. He died on the cross for me. I don't have to do that. He paid for me by his own grace. I don't have to work for it. That's true. But then to also think, so I must show Jesus that I'm worthy. I must show Jesus that I can be a worthy recipient of the life that he came to give. And I display that worthiness by all the things I do in my life, all the ways that I keep God's commands. It's so easy for us to fall into this thinking because we have a desire to serve God. We have a desire to build the structure that leads to godly living. But we must remember, Jesus is central to both. Jesus is not just a Savior who paid for our sins on the cross long ago. He's also a Savior that gives breath to my life today to serve Him. I do not just believe Jesus as an element of the past and then go my own way in the future, but He's with me every day of my life. He gives me His Word to guide me, but also to give me life, to sustain me, to create faith in my heart so that I can serve Him in a proper way. And all of those things are just as much His work as the crucifixion was. But the danger today is that many people think, Jesus did what He did, and it happened, but now I must do what I need to do to serve Him the right way. The key thought here is that Jesus is not just active in bringing you to faith. He's active in using you each day of your life to be a representative by faith. He did not complete all righteousness so that you could run the race on your own. As He promised, He is with you always, even to the end of the age, making what is impossible possible in your life. Near the end of His life and ministry, Jesus taught that same truth, and it touched on the fifth commandment. In Matthew chapter 25, He was teaching about the final day, and He presented a scenario where believers will stand before God and ask this: Lord, when did we see You a stranger and take You in, or naked and clothe You? Or when did we see You sick and in prison and come to You? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. By faith, we have this very same connection with Jesus. By faith, the words that He spoke there can apply to our lives as well. What we do for Him brings honor and glory to His name. And because of what He did for us, we have the privilege of being able to show that same love to others. And Jesus says when we do that, we are also doing it for Him. But let us remember what is really the most important thought here, that this meaningful connection we have with Jesus, which completes the fifth commandment and allows us to serve our neighbor as He did, that this connection also runs in the other direction. It's what Jesus has done for you that makes it possible for you to follow His commands. And that may seem like a very tiny block in the overall structure of your faith life, but it is one that is extremely important and critical to remember, because what's at the heart of it is the true gospel message of salvation. So consider today the structure you are building, the path of Cain or the path of Christ. Each one is built brick by brick. Small attitudes, small thoughts, small behaviors leading to big actions. May God the Holy Spirit lead us in His Word to appreciate each building block of our faith and its place in our lives. And may He lead us through that gospel word which assures us day after day that it has been done in Jesus. May He, the Holy Spirit, use that to build and sustain our faith in Jesus, in all times and in all places in our lives. In His name, amen. Please rise.